Hi, and welcome to the December episode of Freifunk Radio. This time we'll talk in English because we have a guest. It's Adam Burns. He's well known in Freifunk Radio. We already had two episodes and now he's again here. Welcome, Adam. And of course, we have Elektra here.
Hello.
Hi, Elektra. Hi, Andy. Thanks for asking me back again. Last time was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and time was always too short for asking you all the questions we had.
So we got a little bit more time today, yet another half an hour.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Adam, you dipped your toes into the interplanetary file system. How is that going?
That's right. I have started to research this. I find it an amazing distributed content-based file system that is ripe for usage, in my opinion, for networks like Freifunk because of its nature. To be able to cache content based on content itself around the distance of a local network like Freifunk makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. I've been looking at this in with regards to linking it into DNS, and I'm interested in taking that a step further. There's some research I'm doing with the Dyn Foundation in the Netherlands using one of their tools that is based on a lot. It's the core of quite a few European projects on privacy, on circularity, urban circularity of economics in cities, and more recently also a project involving distributed design and manufacturing. But Zenroom is a small portable cryptographic engine, and I'm trying to see how I can integrate this into IPFS for adding some amount of privacy and security within an IPFS universe. So, yes, there's that and further work on something I did years ago in at Free2Air in London, and that is to do further research into certain parts of DNS called DNS SD or DNS Service Discovery. Some people also know this on a local LAN as multicast DNS, often known in the Linux world through the Avahi client. And there are also clients for Mac and PC as well.
And ZeroConf things?
Bonjour, yes, bonjour. And I think they renamed it again and called it Rendezvous for a while.
Oh, okay.
But it is an ITF standard, and it multicasts services around local networks. So-called DNS SD also gates that out to the WAN using traditional DNS as well. So in the complex community networks like Freifunk, etc., of course, is not necessarily guaranteed to be one broadcast domain or one LAN segment. So for ubiquitous service publication, broadcasting the fact that you're offering a service, I would like to explore that further. But as I said, I've been having thought experiments and some practical experiences on this for many, many years. And just recently started to explore with policy-based DNS sec domain delegation, which is a mouthful. Don't ask me to say that again. Policy-based DNS sec delegation, which basically means someone who has access to a DNS domain can subdelegate that and give someone a nickname or a subdomain for which they have entire control over the DNS fabric underneath their own name there. So this gets very interesting in terms of being able to offer the potential of dynamic services. In other words, offering someone a service for a day by putting a temporary DNS name up might point to an IP address. There are different types of DNS services that can offer different types of pointers to different resources as well, including cryptographic keys. So I feel it's an underused world that would be perfect for a Fryfunk playground.
Is it possible to run that software on a Fryfunk router, so a low-spec machine?
Yes, Zenroom itself is a very low low footprint independent piece of software. The most heavy piece of software, perhaps, in this sort of setup would be the ISC bind server. I'm not quite sure how many Fryfunk routers could run that. I think some could. I think it might be beyond the reach of some very tight embedded routers. I forget the memory footprint of bind right now, but it's not huge, but it's not tiny either. So I think it would be a resource to consider if you get what I mean.
I think I do.
You know, if it's interfering with the performance of routing and packet shuffling and meshing in general, then that would be a concern.
Maybe we can't put it on the 4 megabyte devices.
Yeah, I would like to try. I don't know. I suspect Bind has been ported to OpenWRT. I'd have to check. At the moment I'm experimenting on small single board computers, so I know it can certainly run on a Raspberry Pi of various flavors and memory sizes, but I have yet to look at running this on OpenWRT per se.
In Fryfunk firmwares, we usually use DNS mask for DNS things, and I never tried if there's a bind package or if we can use it, but I can imagine on newer devices we will be able to install it because there's enough memory available then.
Indeed, yeah. DNS mask is fantastic. It's an amazing little DNS resolver. And of course, DHCP client with some funky options. You can do all sorts of crazy things with it, including a poor man's captive portal and all sorts of other things. However, it's not good as a dynamic zone authoritative DNS server. In other words, if you want to make it as a permanent part of the DNS infrastructure, it doesn't quite have enough of the features required to do that. It's a bit out of scope of what it was written for, to be honest. Bind is about the only comprehensive DNS server I know that has the combination of combining non-recursive DNS servers that manage zones for resource record sets, as well as dynamic DNS, which enables the DNS update command in the DNS protocol. And just to describe that, normally you would ask DNS a query. You would say, for instance, what does Fryfunk.net resolve to? And you'd send that question to a DNS server and it would provide you an answer. In DNS speak, that's called a query. DNS also offers update, which is a bit like writing a record rather than reading it. So DNS update allows you to refresh, change, or add new records as long as you give enough authentication to the server. And this is a key part of being able to dynamically offer services that may well be mobile. You may need to change port numbers or IP addresses or various other pieces of information about the service because the community Wi-Fi network, the community network is more dynamic than a set, organized, rigid data center. So you need to have that fluidity if you're going to offer a service reliably over time. Yeah, so that's part of the experiment I'm working on at the moment. And if we want to dive deeper with Snorkel and Flippers, I'm also trying to embed public keys into this fabric, such as, and here we go, elliptic curve public keys, such as ED25519. These are the famous Dan Bernstein elliptic curve algorithm that throws away all the so-called dodgy NSA-approved algorithms and goes it alone. That happens to be the same key that is used for IPFS, and thus the link between what I'm talking about now and the original prompting over IPFS. So, yeah. That's my ambitious sort of rough plan at the moment. I've also got the pleasure of working with one of the developers of Secure Scuttlebutt, which is another nimble, interesting communications protocol, more, I believe, for messaging, but I think it's got options for storaging as well. Yeah, I've only used Secure Scuttlebutt briefly. In its early days, I found it a bit frustrating because it seemed to be very fragile, a little like, fragile in the sense that you would generate a set of keys on a client, but if you lost that client, you lost your keys forever. Like you couldn't use it for multi-devices, and there was some fragility there in the back-end server. Set up as well. I don't know, but I believe they've improved those scenarios. IPFS, I think, is the most interesting technology that I have my eyes on because of the keeping local data local intrigues me. So being able to just start IPFS shares amongst either local people in the network topology-wise or local people from the human networking side. And to be able to have a balance of those two things, I think, is very appropriate for the human layer, the human level of networking.
Well, the name Interplanetary File System suggests that it's like a connection to the traditional World Wide Web, but are some scalability issues, right?
I'm not sure. I think the Interplanetary File System is a little misnamed. I don't think it's some of this. I don't think it really offers things like properties like delay tolerance, which is something that comes to my mind when you say Interplanetary File System. I would have thought it means you can handle, you know, packet return times of, half an hour or something. I don't know about performance either. I think if you've got enough peers that have the content that is quite close to you with low latency, then I think the performance is okay. I have heard similar statements from other people as well, but at least in initial tests, I haven't struck any serious performance issues yet.
So it sounds like an interesting playground to explore and see where the limitations are and overcome them with time.
Yeah, or point them out and shout at developers or, you know, talk to developers, to, you know, people who are better coders than I, who are closer to the project, more likely to be able to think of improvements if they are needed than I am. Yeah, I think the IPFS stack that's most used at the moment, I think is written in Go at the moment. I've looked at Go and hacked, you know, like lines here and there of existing things, but I certainly wouldn't call myself a Go developer.
Is there a vibrant development community around IPFS?
Yeah, I think there is. There remains of quite a vibrant community around IPFS. Since I've renewed interest in it, it's been version bumped a couple of times. So they seem to be slowly increasing activity. It has a loose association with a blockchain crypto token called Filecoin, which concerns me a little because, I'm just concerned about capture and so on. But up till this point in time, Filecoin has been quite optional in the setting up of IPFS. So you don't get, at least at present, they've not locked in IPFS with token economics in terms of, oh, I share this space in and you give me this, or you give me a US dollar for this Bitcoin or Filecoin, or which I remain skeptical about, because I don't think that is necessarily the best model for for online sharing for a start, and community networking for a second. I don't think you need to keep a ledger of what people offer and always boil human relationships down to double entry bookkeeping. It leaves a nasty taste in my mouth. So that aside, IPFS without the foil Filecoin, however, does seem like quite an interesting way of making content available, independent of and in a distributed way, independent of the big eye internet, and in a non-centralized peer-to-peer style manner.
So, leaving that weird sound of a Filecoin aside, if I want to dip my toes into this field as well, could I just start with a single board computer like a Raspberry Pi version 3 with 1 gigabyte of RAM?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, of course. That the IPFS daemon that you run will open lots of parallel network connections, but this is the largest. You know, when it's active and it's pushing packets around, which that would probably be one of the largest points of activity that it's got, and that's not very expensive. I mean, as you know, very embedded computers can push lots of packets around quite quickly without too much performance hit. A Raspberry Pi 3 should be good enough. The IPFS client really just pushes packets around, does a small bit of handshaking. It does open up a lot of parallel network connections, but these functions are not taxing on modern CPUs, even embedded ones, even on Raspberry Pis. Most embedded computers can push packets around quite efficiently these days.
And the RAM requirement, is half a gig RAM enough?
Yeah. See, IPFS doesn't, I mean, yes, more RAM, it would eat, I guess, I think it does do a bit of caching on demand, but, most of it would then be file system access, local file system access in order to deliver the file over the network. So it doesn't really have to cache much. But I imagine a lot of parallel requests to data that is only available to that node could slow it down a bit, just purely because platforms like Raspberry Pis are notoriously slow over devices such as their SD card. So you may over high demand, but the peer-to-peer mechanism over IPFS should mean that the load will be distributed amongst the nodes that hold the content concerned. So hopefully that wouldn't be too much of a factor.
Well, it seems like I have certainly to read more about it.
Cool. Let's do a workshop soon. Yeah,
good idea.
Sure. We can share some links in the comments to this broadcast.
Yeah, sure. One of the intriguing parts of and this is another link back to the previous discussion. One of the intriguing parts of IPFS is a thing called IPNS, which is a subcomponent of IPFS that links into DNS. So again, you can access specific content and you can tag it with a DNS label. I think from memory, it's using what is called DNS text records at the moment to achieve that, or at least that's one of the records that it can use. So you can point content, you can refer to content via the DNS system.
So we need to have a workshop and try it out in Freifunk Networks, I think.
That would be awesome, yeah.
Sure. Well, if I'll experiment and put it on a Raspberry Pi Zero.
Ah, you've gone from 3 to 0 in 30 seconds.
And I was asking for 0.5 GB of RAM, and that's a zero.
Indeed, yeah. I just got my hands on the 0.2, actually. Very nice. I can run a full GUI on that little baby.
Sure, interesting. But sounds like an advertisement now, so we should stop that.
Not meant as an advertisement at all, no. Just that I appreciate the fact that it's just a small computer that seems to have a minimal processing.
Yeah, some Freifunkers in Berlin already use devices like Banana Pi as a central router, and maybe this could also be nodes for IPFS, I think, because they will have enough RAM and so on and power.
It'd be interesting to find out. Yeah, what Banana Pi, are they like something? Forgive me, I don't know their spec, but I assume that there'd be enough resources to give it a go.
Yeah, I don't know the exactly devices. Maybe we meet the people of Freifunk Berlin, and then we can talk with them about it.
I mean, I think you can trial on, to begin with anyway, it's probably good enough to trial on endpoint devices rather than routing gateways. But in theory, either would be possible. I'm gathering, however, gateways probably don't have a large amount of storage available for them to cache and store data to deliver to people that want it.
Yeah, I would be cautious to put that on a core router here in the network.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, but we can put it in small devices on our balconies or somewhere in our apartments.
Absolutely.
I was talking about the zero because here everything has to run on solar power, and solar power is scarce at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Are there any user groups or meetings for IPFS users in Germany or in Berlin? Do you know about that, or is it just an internet community?
I'm not sure whether there is a local community in Berlin. That's a good question. I can scratch around. I lurked in some of the online forums for a little while, with mixed results. But most of the time, they're very friendly to get people up and running. Yeah. So no, I'm not aware of Berlin. If anyone is, please get in touch. Yeah. And if there isn't, then I'm up for getting together with others in Berlin interested in IPFS matters.
Well, sounds like we should actually do a small workshop, of course.
Great, we can do that. Well, don't know about live on the spot time and date, but if we do, we should inform our lovely listeners. They might be interested in attending.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's been that those things from IPFS to DNS mangling and some issues like that have been high on my agenda. In terms of networking research, again, with a sort of focus on what I'd loosely call commons-based resource sharing in one way or another. What about you guys? What's your latest interests been?
Well, I'm afraid we don't have much time now. I guess half an hour is already getting full.
I think we have 2 or 3 minutes left.
You mean I've talked my way through this entirely? I hope that's
we're thankful
thing,
for that. We're thankful for that. Well, okay. As a personal note, you get an update of the MP2 Lua file for your solar controller because I found the bug.
Yeah. Yay! Yeah, now there's another amazing journey that I've been enjoying as well, and that is running one of your open MPPT nodes and discovering how long-duration cloud cover in Berlin can really impact solar systems, at least of the size I've got.
I'll send you a small improvement that will increase the amount of energy you harvest now in wintertime because I, found a little bug.
And then you let the sun shine, or how does it work?
it's just a minor bug. The maximum power point tracking algorithm is kicking in too late in low sun irradiation, and I have improved that.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah, well, then that's our broadcast for December, then. Thank you for listening, and we're going to announce when we make a gathering for IPFS and the DNS stuff that we are talking about.
Yeah, thank you, Adam, for being here. It was a pleasure for us, and I think we'll hear us next year again with the next episode. If you have any topics for us, if you want to show interesting things from your community, just get in touch with us and let us know about it.
Awesome. Yes, please do.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and I hope it inspires others.
Yeah, that's the idea. Well, thank you very much, Adam. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Okay. Thank you, and bye.
Bye for now.
Bye now.